Okay, I see a lot of familiar faces from Monday, and I got an introduction today, so I don't have to reintroduce myself, but I will mention again the point for Monday that I am a sofer, so this is a topic that's very dear to my heart, different shitas about how to make tefillin, how to wear tefillin. There is this topic of Rabbeinu Tam tefillin that you've heard about. You think that it's something that people who are really, really frum do, the different ways of wearing them. So today I want to explore the background of how there came to be this disagreement about how to make tefillin, and how the Rishonim and the Achronim deal with this issue in terms of what they recommend in terms of actual practice. We know there are different groups of Jews that do different things, that regular non-Hasidic Jews, non-Svardic Jews, generally do not wear Rabbeinu Tam tefillin. This is not comment on whether this is right or wrong. This is just sociologically what's being done. And generally, Hasidim and Sfardim, it's extremely common to wear Rabbeinu Tam tefillin. Some start at the Bar Mitzvah. I think Chabad starts at the Bar Mitzvah that they start wearing both Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam tefillin. Other Hasidic groups and Sfardim, generally, they only start at the wedding. The idea being that we're wearing tefillin before you're married is already a little bit of a kula, because you're supposed to be very holy and have very holy, pure thoughts when you're wearing tefillin. So if you're not married at all, so it's better to minimize the amount you wear tefillin. You certainly shouldn't be doing extras. So they start wearing Rabbeinu Tam tefillin at the wedding. Anyway, okay. So the issue between Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam tefillin is what order the parshias are written and appear and are placed in the tefillin. We know this is the parsha of the week as well. Another reason this is a timely shiur, that the parsha of the week, Parshas Bo, the last two paragraphs of Parshas Bo, are the introduction in the Torah, the first place in the Torah that's mentioned, the mitzvah of tefillin. So those two paragraphs are the first two paragraphs that are written in the tefillin, and then we also have the same two paragraphs that appear in the mezuzah, Shema, V'hayayim Shamoah. So there are four parshias that are written in the tefillin. And you have here a diagram in source number, and the page 3 at the very end. It's kind of small, but that's the only way I could fit in the diagram. there are two different shitas.
The only difference is the text
of Rashi Rabbeinu Tam tefillin is the same. That's the only difference is what order the parshias are placed in. So you have, see in the diagram at the end of page 3, at the top, it says the order according to Rashi. And again, you see that the tefillin here in the diagram are open facing you. In other words, the front part of the tefillin in the diagram would be what would be facing you if you were looking at someone wearing tefillin. And the back of that picture where you see like there's a hinge, like where the tefillin would be folded up, that would be the back. That would be towards the back of the head of the person wearing tefillin, or towards the farther away from you if you're standing at looking at someone wearing tefillin, looking at the order of the parshas. So according to Rashi, if you are looking at the person wearing tefillin, so the order goes from left to right, the order that the parshas appear in the Torah. Kadesh, which is the second to last paragraph of Parshas Bo, Kadesh li kol b'chor petah kol rechem b'vnei Yisrael. Then Vayaki V'yacha, which is the last paragraph of Parshas Bo, and then Shema, and then Vayayim Shema. Shema, we know, is in Parshas Vayischanan, and Vayayim Shema is in Parshas Ekev. So Parshas Vayischanan comes first. So that would be, according to Rashi, the order that the Parshas are inserted into the Tefillin Shel Rosh, and this seemingly that would be the order they'll be written in the Tefillin Shel Yad also, though we get into that a little bit later, is simply the order right to left, again, looking at the person wearing tefillin, right to left, would be the order that the parshias appear in the Torah. According to Rabbeinu Tam, the order of the last two parshias is switched. So it goes, again, if you're looking at the person wearing tefillin, it goes, Kadesh Vayaki V'yacha, that both agree, then it goes, Vayayim Shamoa Shema. Vayayim Shamoa comes before Parshas Shema. So how on earth is something that is so fundamental, that's done every day by millions of Jews, how could there have become a disagreement regarding the practice of this mitzvah? So you could argue You could argue that it's something that's not particularly visible to most people. That is mainly sofrim who are dealing with these things. And you get the tefillin for your bar mitzvah, and they're all, you know, sewed up nice, and they're painted black, and you can't tell which parsha is where. So this wasn't something that ordinary Jews had a consciousness of. So that's one possible reasoning. There, we also know that from the words of the Rishonim that there were many periods where Jews were not particularly careful about the mitzvah of tefillin. So it could be that in those times, the observance of the mitzvah of tefillin was lax, that they had to sort of reconstruct how to do it. So they had to look into the sources rather than just everybody did what his father and grandfather did. Yeah. Pre-Rabbeinu Tam, yeah. So this is a machlokes again. Famously, it's a machlokes between Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam. That, and we know what was the relationship between Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam. Rashi was the grandfather, Rabbeinu Tam was the grandson. So there's a story that one day Rabbeinu Tam goes up to Rashi. They had this argument even in Rashi's lifetime. He says, Zayda, your tefillin are puzzle. You have to make tefillin according to me. So neither of them retracted their shita, but there was this actual disagreement in person between Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam. Anyway, okay. So it says the Mechilta in source number one. The Mechilta is the halachic medrash on Sefer Shmos. So this is the end of Parshas Bo, the Parsha of the week. Barba makomos maskir parshas tefillin kadesh levayakiv yachash ma vayem shamoa. We put in the tefillin the paragraphs of the Torah in which the mitzvah of tefillin is mentioned. In this week's parasha, it says vayalecholos al yodcha ulzikaron beininacha, and it says elototafos beininacha in parshas vayakiv yacha. Mikan amar mitzvah tefillin arba parshios. This is why the Chazal have the tradition that these are the four paragraphs that are supposed to be written in the tefillin. We know that there were, as we well know, that there were other sects of Jews in the times of Bayesheni, that they did things differently. They didn't follow the halacha as presented by Chazal, so they had different parshias, some of them, in their tefillin. But we know that Chazal tell us that, no, you're only allowed to have these four parshias. You must have these four, and you're only allowed to have these four. Shel yadim kerech echad. In the Shel Yad, it's one scroll where all the four parashiyos are written. And in the Shel Rosh, Hem Arba Totafos. In the Shel Rosh, there are four different compartments and four different scrolls. We actually, Paskin, you'll see in the Gemara, the end of the discussion I included in the Gemara in source number three, but there is a Mahogis in the Gemara as to what's the main thing over here. Is it the compartments or is it the scroll? According to Reb Yehuda, the scroll is the most important part, meaning that in the Shel Yad, all four parshias must be written on one scroll. Whereas Reb Yossi says, and that's how we paskin, that the main thing is the compartments. That, it, let's say, this is not ideal maybe, but if you wrote the four parshias of Tefillin on four different pieces of cloth, and you stuck them all in one bias of the Shel Yad, is that would be kosher according to Reb Yossi. So okay, so that's maybe one level of disagreement. According to the Brisker Rav has an essay on the Rambam and Hilchos Tefillin in Chidushei Moran Riz Halevi, where he talks about this Mechilta maybe is going according to the Shita of Reb Yehuda, where the main thing is the klafim and not the batim. Okay. Veiloin kadesh levayakiv yachos shma vayem shemoa. Kosvan kisidron. You write them in order. What order? Well, I just told you the order. I listed them in the order they appear in the Torah. And stam, if you would say that these paragraphs have to be written in order, what does that mean? The order that they appear in the Torah. There's no other order. There's none of the other order mentioned here. Vim lo kosvan kisidron. Hare elu yigonezu, that if you did not write the four parshias here in order, then the tefillin should go to Geniza. They have to be put away. They are puzzle. So again, there is another aspect, level of interpretation of this Mechilta, which is mentioned by the later poskim. It doesn't say this explicitly in Chazal anywhere, but maybe implied by this Mechilta, which is that when the sofer is writing the tefillin, he has to write every letter one after the other. and it's called Kisidron. If you make a mistake, then you have to erase everything back to where you made the mistake and start again from the point that you made a mistake. Because every letter, one after the other, has to be physically written in order. The problem becomes that if you encounter Shem Hashem, if you wrote Shem Hashem after you made a mistake, so can you erase that? No. So that's why once you write Shem Hashem after a mistake in writing tefillin, it's no good. And that's part of the reason why tefillin are so expensive. Tefillin, and we assume the halacha applies to mezuzahs also, though it's not mentioned explicitly here in the mechilta. Okay, that's one aspect of this mechilta. But the simpler understanding is that, again, according to the way the Brisker Rav writes in his Chidushim on the Rambam, that this mechilta is going in accordance with Reb Yehuda, that the main thing is they all have to be written on one cloth. So if you wrote, let's say he's talking about the Shilyan, just for argument's sake. So they have to be written, all the four parshias, on one cloth. And if you wrote the parshias in the wrong order, i.e. the order that they do not, anything other than the order in which they appear in the Torah, then the tefillin are pasul. Okay. So the simple understanding of the mechilta is in accordance with which shita, Rashi or Rabbeinu Tam? Why both? Yeah, but it mentions the order specifically. Rashi. I think that's pretty clear, that the Mechilta is in accordance to Rashi. Yeah?
What about the compartments? Why are there four shulosh and commandments?
Why? Because it says a totafos. It shall be ornaments, frontlets, between your eyes, whereas by the Shelyad it says laos, that it's one, and the shel rosh is many. There is a famous quip of the Shagas Aryeh. I think it's some bringing the name of the Vilna Gaon also. That there is a machlokas. If you look at your tefillin shel rosh, so it's supposed to have four compartments. There's a whole discussion that I don't want to get into now at length. But as to whether if you glue the compartments together, let's say you make a bayis shel rosh, tefillin shel rosh, and you glue, and you have four separate compartments, and then you glue them together. So does that nullify the division between the compartments? According to the Shagas Aryeh and the Vilna Gaon, you're not allowed to glue the compartments of the shel rosh together because they have to be four separate compartments. But at a certain point in Jewish history, this became not the minhag. That the more common practice was that they used to glue the four compartments of the shel rosh together in order to avoid that the batim separating like this, which they held might be a problem because it makes the tefillin no longer square, and we know the halacha is that tefillin are required to be square. Not everybody necessarily agrees with this. Maybe if it spreads a little bit, it is okay. But okay, I don't want to get into it. But in any event, the Vilna Gaon and the Shagas Aryeh held that you're absolutely not allowed to glue the compartments of the tefillin shell rose together. So it said that when they would go around in a shul and they would see someone who had their shell rose glued, they would go over to him and say, why are you wearing your shalyad on your head? Because like one piece. It's a kosher shalyad according to them, not a shalrosh, because it makes it all one piece. What? But if you glue it together, it's unseparate. It's a whole machlokas. Again, the Chasam Sofer says that it doesn't make it one compartment. There are those who say, so nowadays they have tefillin where that you can don't have to glue it, and they have all the compartments separate, but yet they don't spread. So it's a nice thing, yeah?
Separate pieces, maybe they'll fall out of order. That may be a wild case.
Why? What do you mean? No, they don't fall. Once you stick the parashas in, they don't go anywhere. A lot of times we sew for him quite the opposite. Sometimes somebody brings the tefillin to check and you can't get the parashas out. Parashas don't go anywhere once you stick them in. No. That's the, again, we're skipping now about 1,000 years after the Mechilta, before this is mentioned explicitly, maybe more. Maybe about 1,000 years. But the accepted halacha is found in Shulchan Aruch is that both the Shel Yad and the Shel Rosh, the parshas, have to be physically written one letter after the other in order. Yeah.
What did they do before Rashi?
What do you mean?
That's
the issue. From the Mechilta, again, we call the machlokas Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam, but the truth is that the machlokas is even older. That's what we're going to get to in the very last source, if we get there, hopefully. But the Mechilta, again, the Mechilta sounds like Rashi. So if you want to ask me, just from learning source number one in this source sheet, what did they do before this machlokes between Rashi and Beinutam? I would say at this point in the shir, they probably did Rashi. Okay, so, and source number two. This is the Shema Gedolim by the Chida. The Chida brought a lot of interesting bibliography, Sfarim, that were not quoted before. So here he quotes the Yerushalmi on Maseches Menaches. That's where we find the discussions of the laws of Sifrei Torah, Tefillin, and Mezuzos in the Talmud Bavli. It's in Maseches Menaches because the Mishnah over there mentions how the four parshiyos of the Tefillin and the two parshiyos of the Mezuzah are absolutely required. It's related to something that it says over there about Korbanos and Makkeh being Makkeh of each other. Okay. But he quotes the Yerushalmi on Maseches Menaches as saying like Rabbeinu Tam. Now, why don't I just verify this by looking up the Yerushalmi on Menaches? We don't have it. We don't have the Yerushalmi on Seder Kodshim. So these are all reports that are secondhand, that in the Yerushalmi on Menaches it says like Rabbeinu Tam. So potentially, maybe, again, that's not the Mechilta we know. The Yerushalmi Menaches, we don't know for sure. So maybe this is a machlokes between the Mechilta and the Yerushalmi. This machlokes goes all the way back to that point. Maybe. Okay. Says our Gemara Bavli. First of all, it mentions how you can turn a shel rosh into a shel yad by putting a piece of skin over the four compartments, and thereby you blur the distinction between the four compartments, and you can make it into a shel yad. So if you can make the shel rosh into a shel yad, what does that imply? It implies that the order of the shel rosh, the parshias in the shel rosh, is the same as the order in the shel yad. You could have said to me, wait a minute, Mechilta, you were talking about just the shel yad, because you were talking about writing them on one piece of cloth. But maybe the order of the shel rosh is different. Maybe the yad is like Rashi, and the shel rosh is like Rabbeinu Tam. So from this Gemara, it seems not like that. It seems like the order of the parshias is the same in both. And even though the order of the parshias, some say, I think Reb Chaim writes like this, that the order of the parshias in the shel yad is not ma'akev, because we paskin like Rabbi Yossi that all that matters is the four parshias have to be in the same bias, in the same casing, but they don't have to all be on the same cloth. So if you just, how could you say the order matters? Because you could stick the four clothim in whatever order you want. It doesn't matter. But nevertheless, it seems to me that at least l'chatchila, at least that the fundamental nature that Chazal were imagining for tefillin is that the parshias who have the same order both in the shel rosh and the shel yad. Now the second paragraph of Gemara Bavli in source number three.
They have to be on the same paper for the shel yad, right?
If your tefillin are written on paper, that's really bad.
No,
yeah. You have to be in the same, what do you mean, order on the cloth.
Yeah.
That's the pashtus, yeah. Yeah. Now, so the Gemara says, Ketzad Sidran, it brings the Braisa that said, what's the order of the parashias? Now it says, this is a funny way of presenting it. That's going to become very significant later. Kadeshli Vayaki Vyacha Miyamin. You do Kadesh Vayaki Vyacha, the first two parashias, from the right. Shema Vayayim Shamoa Mismol. And Shema Vayem Shamoa from the left. Now, right here in the Gemara, does it sound like Rashi or like Rabbeinu Tam? Rashi?
Is he talking about Yad or Rosh?
The Rosh. You're talking about the Rosh now. He's talking about the Tefillin Shel Rosh, really.
He's a kid. Right.
Right. He's really talking about the Tefillin Shel Rosh now. I would have said, just from reading this line in the Gemara, I would have said like Rabbeinu Tam. Because it says like this. Shema Kadesh Vayaki Vyacha from the right side. Shema Vayam Shamoa from the left side. That's what I would have said, just from reading this line in the Gemara. V'atanya ifcha. But there's a brisa that says the opposite. Amar Abaye lokasha. Kan mi mino shel kori, kan mi mino shel maniach. That one is talking about, the brisa that says the opposite order is talking about from the perspective of the person wearing the tefillin, and the brisa, the first brisa that we brought, is from the perspective of the person looking at the person wearing tefillin. So they don't disagree, these two brises. Now here's the key line. Ve'akore kore kisidron. The person looking at the person wearing tefillin reads the parshias in the right order. Now what does that mean? What Seder is it talking about? Which Seder?
The order of the
Torah. Oh, we have someone who paskins here like Rashi. That the order of Kori Kori Kisidron means that the person who is looking at the person wearing tefillin is reading in the order of the Torah, and that would be like Rashi. Another possibility is that it means that the person who's looking at the person wearing tefillin reads in the order of the Brisa that was mentioned before. Which would be like Rabbeinu Tam. So, meaning the person reads in the order that's mentioned in the first Brisa.
What does that mean?
The person who reads it, meaning the person who looks at you. Yeah. The Kore is the reader, is the person who's looking at the person wearing tefillin. Okay, we'll explain more.
If he's reading it the way he's looking at it, it depends how it's placed. If it's placed,
right.
If that's the Kore, then that's Rashi.
Right, but if he's going by the order of the Brisa, so it means that Shema, that means he's reading Kadesh Vaya Kivyacha Miyamin from the right side, and Shema Vayam Shema from small from the left side.
Read these two this way and those two this way.
Or the order that's mentioned. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. That's why a lot of, because of the ambiguity involved in the interpretation that I just mentioned, that's taka reason why you're taka right, that that Rashi and the Rambam use this line in the Gemara as a proof for their shita, for the shita of Rashi, that it must be, because there's otherwise too much ambiguity otherwise, that this line means that Kore Kore Kisidron, the order of the Torah. Okay. Then the Gemara goes on to discuss that that if you change the order of the tefillin, the parshas and the tefillin are pusle. So that's a problem. If it wasn't makiv, it was just lechatchila, that the order of the parshas should be in a certain way, then it's not such a big deal. Some people could do like Rashi, some people do like Rabbeinu Tam. Might not be lechatchila, but you at least be owed to the mitzvah. The Gemara here makes clear that, at least for the Shel Rosh, that if you have the parshias in the wrong order, then you're not yotzei tefillin, which is part of what's going to prompt some poskim later on in history to do both, to put on both Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam to ensure that they fulfill the mitzvah. Okay.
Wouldn't you be
over
about poison? You put on both?
Maybe. No, if you're over on Baal Tosif, you're not really over on Baal Tosif by doing extra things at different times with the Kavana. Yeah, Baal Tosif really would be if you put five Parshias in the Tefillin. That's real Baal Tosif. So you're talking about that it looks a little bit shtickle Baal Tosif dick to wear two pairs of Tefillin. Yeah, that's why, like, for example, you know, sometimes there's an issue about which side of the doorway you should put the mezuzah. So some people say, well, put it on both sides. Why not? So Moshe Feinstein doesn't like this. He says, no, we never put a mezuzah on two sides of the door. It might not technically be Baal Tosef because you really only have kavana to fulfill the mitzvah with the correct one. But it's nish batamt, as we say, to have two mezuzahs on each side of the doorway. So too, you could make the argument, possibly, that it's not batamt to wear two pairs of tefillin. Possible. Okay. A lot of people do. A lot of people do. A lot of people do.
The average people, not Spartan, take yeah. off the Rashi and put on the
Rebbe. Right, we'll get there. We'll get there.
Then there's no
person
at all.
Yeah, right. But there may be reasons not to do it. There may be reason not. We'll get there. 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 Okay. So Tosfos quotes the Machlokes, source number 5. It's as I explained before that Rabbeinu Tam is bothered. Why does the Brisa separate them. It says these two from the right and these two from the left. It sounds like not like Rashi from that, possibly. Although we're going to see later that there are poskim that explain it very well in accordance with the opinion of Rashi. And he also quotes the Shita of Rabbeinu Chananel, who's a very early Rishon, as interpreting the Gemara in Sanhedrin that talks about which parshias of the tefillin are on the outside. It's called Roes Ha'avir, that's literally that sees the air. So Rabbeinu Chananel writes on that Gemara that the two parshias of the tefillin that see the air, that are on the outside, are Kadesh and Shema. So the two parishas on the outside are Kadesh and Shema, so that's like Rabbeinu Tam. And he quotes the Tshuva Sakyonim. Okay. That it also interprets Rabbeinu Tam, but he does say that Toysis, towards the end, that in the, he does agree that in the Mechilta it does sound like Rashi. Now, some people also find an allusion to the fact that the Kadesh and the Shema are supposed to be on the outside, like Rabbeinu Tam, from the fact that which letter appears on the outer part of the tefillin on the right and the left side? Shin. And which two parshias have Shin in their names? Well, Vayam Shamoa also does, but that's later on. Those are the real Shins, Shema and Kadesh, Shins. So those should be on the outside. Okay. Fine. Shimusha Rabbah, in source number 6. The Shimusha Rabbah is a work from the times of the Gaonim that discusses in detail how to manufacture tefillin. The reason that this work was necessary is that the Gemara does not spend that much time on this. They talks about halachas of tefillin, but the nitty-gritty of how to make tefillin, the Gemara does not really mention. And the Shimusha Rabbah, it says that, like Rashi, you put them in Rashi. However, according to one girsa in the Shimush Rabba, which may not be the correct girsa, but some had that girsa, they say that the Shimush Rabba holds like Rashi in reverse. Meaning, instead of going, again, facing the person wearing tefillin, Rashi is going in the order of the Torah from right to left. According to the Shimush Rabba, according to one reading, it goes from left to right. Shimush Rabba? Yeah, you should get one and order it for me. So you should get all the shitas. If every single Jew got every single shita of tefillin and ordered it for me, I would be a very rich man. So, what? Hey, so we had three now. I don't really think you should get Shimush Rabba tefillin. It was a joke. Nobody laughed, so I wanted to make sure that you really, you know that I'm just kidding and not, okay. So that's many interpret that the Shimush Rabba is exactly like Rashi, and again, some say that the Shimush Rabba is like Rashi in reverse. So now we have three potential ways to put the parashas in the tefillin, and we're about to find a fourth, which is the Ravid. This for sure is the Ravid. This nobody disagrees with this. It says explicitly that the Ravid holds like Rabbeinu Tam in reverse. So instead of Kadesh Vayakiviyacha Vayam Shemo Shema, he holds from left to right. Kadesh Vayakiviyacha Vayam Shemo Shema. He quotes this from Rabbeinu, from Rav Haigon, and he says that the reason he wants to do it that way is because who cares about the person looking at the person wearing tefillin? It seems that the main order should be in accordance with the person putting on the tefillin. So therefore, he holds like Rabbeinu Tam in reverse. And he quotes it from, again, Rav Haigon, which means if Rav Haigon really held like this, that means that this is a very, very, very ancient machlokes. It goes back much, much, much earlier than Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam.
Why do you accept more the Rabbeinu Tam Sufik as the others, the Shimush Rabba or the
Rabbi? Excellent question. He says, according to someone told me just to mention that the Lubavitcher Rebbe put on four pairs of tefillin: Rashi, Rabbeinu Tam, maybe Shimush Rabba, and Ravid.
Okay.
That's I was just told. I never heard that before, but I was just told that. So I happen to personally know someone who does, not me. I happen to personally know someone who does also wear for those four shittas. But why is it not accepted to do that? Why is it accepted to do only Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam? Reb Chaim, I think it's in the stencils, if I'm not mistaken, the what's quoted from Reb Chaim rather than what he wrote himself, that he thinks that the reason is that you're Yotzei B'dieved according to the Shimush Rabbah with Rashi, and you're Yotzei B'dieved according to the Ravid with Rabbeinu Tam. Because if you flip around the tefillin, you're still Yotzei B'dieved. Maybe. Okay. But Lemaisa, a simpler understanding of why is because those are extreme minority shittas. That there are a lot of Rishonim hold like Rashi and a lot of Rishonim hold like Rabbeinu Tam. And the Ravid and the maybe Shimush Rabba are very minority shittas. No! No! It's on! Rabbeinu Tam wore Rabbeinu Tam's villain only, of course. No, Rabbeinu Tam did not wear Rashi's villain. Rabbeinu Tam, I don't know what he got for his bar mitzvah, but certainly once he developed his, his shita.
But Rashi didn't wear Rabbeinu Tam.
No, Rashi did not wear Rabbeinu Tam's villain, and Rabbeinu Tam did not wear Rashi's villain. Now. Yeah! So the Rishonim were stark. They didn't, except for the Maharam, who was very nervous. He liked to be Yotzei everyone. So most of the Rishonim, they held the Shita. They did it that way. They didn't care what anybody else held. They held this way. They weren't choshish for everyone. They had their proofs. They held to their proofs, and that was it.
What groups?
Rashi, Rabbeinu Tam? Mostly Chasidim and Svardim. Most those are where it's you. We'll see. We'll get there. We'll get to more detail later. Now the Rambam is very interesting. What does the Rambam write in his Sefer Mishneh Torah in his main halachic book? What he holds like Rashi, but it seems Rabosai. It seems that he didn't always hold this way. There's a tshuva of the Rambam, where the Chachmei Lunel, the Chachmei Lunel had this whole series of tshuvas that they wrote to the Rambam, or shailas that they wrote to the Rambam, and they said, Rabbi, we just got your book, hot off the press. Printing press wasn't invented yet, so anachronistic expression. But hot off the press, we got your book, and it says that the order of the tefillin is like Rashi. But we never heard of this. We do like Rabbeinu Tam. They didn't say Rashi Rabbeinu Tam. I'm just simplifying it by calling it that. They explained that the order of Rabbeinu Tam. So the Rambam writes back, you know, I used to do like you. When I lived in Spain, I did Rabbeinu Tam. But now that I moved to Egypt, I have convincing proofs that Rashi is right. And I switched to do like Rashi. And that's what all the Jews in Eretz Yisrael do, like Rashi. And I also heard this reported in the name of Rav Haigo, that like Rashi. Now wait a minute. Oh, you the Vargeret! The Ravid says Vargeret, that Rav Haigo. So we have Spheris and Rav Haigo. We're not sure Rav Haigo held. He's quoted as supporting both Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam. It's just very interesting that the Rambam changed his mind. He used to do Rabbeinu Tam, and then he started to do Rashi. Now, and that's what he wrote in the Mishneh Torah, so that's what's more famous as the Shita of the Rambam. Now, the Rashba, perhaps the most in-depth treatment of this issue in the Rishonim, is the Shuvas HaRashba. Running out of time here, okay, I'll have to go fast. But the Rashba writes in a tshuva that he says it's much simpler, like the Mechilta, to understand that it's all the order of the Torah. And with the Ravid who says that why are we talking about the person looking at the person wearing tefillin? The main thing is the person wearing the tefillin. The Rashba has a very simple response to that. It's not talking about someone who's looking at someone wearing tefillin. It's talking about the sofer who's holding the tefillin in his hand and he's putting in the parshias. So he's looking at it in the same direction as the person looking at someone wearing tefillin. Not talking about some. And then he said that the reason that the Braisa had to say these two from the right side, these two on the left side, is to make extra clear that that you can't switch the middle ones and you can't switch the outer ones, and good. So then he says, so he brings, he does away with the proofs of Rabbeinu Tam, and he says Rashi is right, and that was also the minag of Rabbeinu Yonah and the Ramban. Okay, Machlokes Rishonim. Machlokes Rishonim.
And they only wore one set.
What?
As far as you know, they only wore one set.
Yeah. It didn't. The Rambam was not one. We are familiar at all with the Rambam. He was not one to be like choshesh for different shitas and be nervous. He was more the type to be strong about his shita. Okay. Now there are Rishonim who do start to get nervous. The Sefer HaTruma says. Sefer HaTruma is the 12th, 13th century, I believe. Ashkenaz. So he says that there's an issue over here. Bracha levatala. If you make a bracha on one set of tefillin, and it's wrong, then it's a bracha levatala. Now, how do we get out of this? By wearing both Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam, but only if what? Only if what? If you put them on at the same time. Because if you put on the one of them first, and you daven with them, then you put on the other after davening, you already made the bracha on the other one. And then he says, nevertheless, since the main issue here is bracha levatola, nevertheless, if you can't wear them both at the same time, you should at least put them on one after the other. It's better than nothing. Now, the Rosh writes in the Halachas Ketanis, where he discusses the Halachas of Tefillin, he also brings the Shimush Rab over there, that he says, you should taka wear both, and the issue over here seems to become not just the bracha levatola, but just being nervous, we're really not sure which is the right tefillin, so we have to wear both. So the Rosh says, in order to avoid Baal Tosef, you put them both on at the same time, because there's enough room to wear two pairs of tefillin on your arm and two pairs of tefillin on your head, not with the enormous tefillin that we have nowadays, but in the times of In the tefillin that they had in the times of the Chazal and the Rishonim were much smaller pashtas, so there was room to wear them both. So he says you have kavana that the correct, if Rashi is correct, I have kavana to be yotzei with his tefillin, and if Rabbeinu Tam is correct, I have kavana to be yotzei with his tefillin, and the other ones, the wrong ones, they're just fancy leather straps. I don't have kavana to wear them as tefillin.
First,
yeah, you. I literally at the same time. You put them on. You hold the two straps together. You tighten them literally at the same time. Yeah, there's no first. Now, that's the Rosh. You wear them both at the same time. Now, the Smak has a very interesting shita. He holds. We mentioned how this a little before. How this is a little difficult, but he says that Rabbeinu Tam only disagrees about the Shel Rosh. The Shel Yad, he agrees is Rashi, because it doesn't make sense that there should be a different order, because you're Yotzei B'dieved, even if you have different klafim in the Shel, within the one bias. So, therefore, he can't disagree. That's not the commonly accepted Ashita, at least L'chatchila, but that's what the Smak says. Now, how do we do Lemaisa? The Smag famously brings that they found archaeological evidence that Rashi is right. He says that they, in the grave of Yechezkel Hanavi in Eretz Yisrael, they found that there were Rashi tefillin buried there. So good. So the order is like, so the din is like Rashi. You see Yechezkel Hanavi wore Rashi tefillin. Good.
They say maybe they buried it because
of... That's exactly source number 14 on the source sheet. That's exactly the Bach. Very good, very, very good. Says maybe, no, who says those were Yechezkel HaNavi's tefillin? Maybe they were just put there to be buried with Yechezkel HaNavi because they're puzzle. Okay, good. What? Right, and maybe there's a Hechatimtza depending on how you do the Parsha breaks. I can't get into it now just to switch the Parshias. In which case, why does it say Harelius Gigonezu in the Mechilta? Maybe that's going like Rebbe Yehuda. It's a complicated discussion about this. Again, the brisker of on this topic is very, very illuminating. Now, the Shulchan Aruch brings the Shita of both Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam. And he says, what? How does he conclude in source number 15? Uminag olam kerashi varambam. The minag is like Rashi and the Rambam. Now, what does this sound like? He goes through the whole discussion. And he says the minag is like Rashi. What does that sound like? He's not sure. He's not paskining that the halacha is like Rashi. He says most people do Rashi. He's not really sure that the halacha is according to the Rashi. That's not what he says. Usually he said, he would say ha'ikar or whatever, like Rashi and the Rambam. He says, mina ga'olam. And then he says, v'irei shamayim yetze yedei shneyem. If you're really frum, you should do both. And ideally, you should put them on at one time. And if you can't do that, then you put them one after the other, maybe immediately. So you would say the bracha. You make the bracha, you put on Rashi, immediately take them off and put on Rabbeinu Tam, so it shouldn't be so much of a hefsek, so the bracha could go on both sets of tefillin.
Yeah. Is there anyone that does only Rabbeinu Tam? Is there such a
sheet? Is there anyone in the world? There are a lot of strange people out there. I've heard, I don't know anyone personally, I have a friend of a friend, I have heard of somebody who does only... There is someone in the world who does only Rabbeinu Tam. But that's very not accepted, obviously. Now,
if you put them on separately,
yeah.
You make two brachas?
No, you never make a bracha on Rabbeinu Tam. A bracha is always on Rashi. And you can make a bracha on both, but you never make a bracha on Rabbeinu Tam alone. So I only make one bracha on the Shel Yad and the Shel Rosh, right. And the Vilna Gaon also basking like that, yeah. So the... And if you can't do that even, so he says, you put on Rashi during davening, then after davening, you put on Rabbeinu Tam, and you say over Kriyas Shema. Now he says what? He concludes by saying, echoing the Tshuvas Ma'aril, which I didn't have room for on the source sheet, Lo yasekein ela mishem muchzak umaforsa bachsidus. You should only do this if you are well known to be extremely pious. If you're a little kid, and you're a flip out at age 20, whatever, after you come back from yeshiva in Israel, and you're pretending to be the firmest person in the world, you're not allowed to do this. Only someone who's genuinely recognized to be a very pious person is medaktik on ben adam lechavero and ben adam lemakom and everything.
Chol
Yisrael. Yeah, I'm not such a kanai for Chol Yisrael. That's what my shir about was on Monday. But there's room to do it. I'm not saying there's definitely a shita that you required. I'm just not such a kanai to say that someone who's not akvan Chol Yisrael cannot be so not muchzak before some bachzidus. That was the last year. That was Monday. You can listen to a recording online if you want. Anyway, so the question is, you should only do this if you're super frum and recognized as such to do what? To do what? Put on Rabbeinu Tam at all? Put them on separately? Or put them on at the same time? The funny thing is, though, is that he has this line after discussing putting them on separately. A lot of people say like you, that to put on one after the other, that's not a problem at all. Or also, if you do it privately, let's say you daven in shul with just Rashi, then you get home after shul, you put on Rabbeinu Tam, you say Krishma, nobody sees you, nobody knows. So that should be fine. But to do it publicly in shul, to put on both at the same time, some say that's the main problem. But before, he doesn't sound like that, because he says, Yirei Shamayim Yetzei Yedei Shneyem V'yaseh Shnei Zugos. If you're Yirei Shamayim, doesn't mean that you're super frum. It means that you're a fine religious Jew. If you're a fine religious Jew, so you should do both, because we're really not sure that who the halacha follows. Never heard that. As far as I'm aware, the Chasam Sofer did wear Rabbeinu Tam. I'm not. That's what I've heard. But okay, I don't know. So I'd have to. Is the next speaker here? I don't want to.
No.
What? Oh, there's no next speaker? Okay, I'll try to finish up very quickly. Just I didn't start exactly on time because of the source sheet, so I'll just go very quickly. The Machzik Bracha, the Chidah, quotes the sheet of the Mikubalim of the Ari, that which is against everyone else, that everybody else says, that we're not sure whom the halacha follows, so therefore... Therefore, you should wear both because of the suffix. The Ari said, no! Svelte in the mitzvah tefillin. It's not a full fulfillment of the mitzvah tefillin unless you wear both. Al pi Kabbalah. It's very difficult to understand. Certainly not the simple understanding. How could that be? And the whole mashmos and all the Gemara and everywhere is that people wore one pair of tefillin. Of course, very difficult. Rav Avadia says like that. Anyway, but that's why, because of this Kabbalah, it became extra common that people wear both Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam, either at the same time, which is the main way, or one after the other, because it's considered both to be essential for the fulfillment of mitzvah tefillin. Now, the famous, to close with the famous shita of the Vilna Gaon, that the Vilna Gaon paskined like Rashi. He did not wear Rabbeinu Tam tefillin. Vilna Gaon was very, very religious, so why didn't he do what, like it says in the Shulchan Aruch, that you, Reish Shemayim, should wear both Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam tefillin? The famous story, well, first of all, the Vilna Gaon used to wear tefillin all day long. Like, that's the Kerdin. So his most famous student, Reb Chaim Volozhiner, his main student, once went up to him and says, Rebbe, I don't wear tefillin all day long. So I might as well put on Rabbeinu Tam. I understand why you don't put on Rabbeinu Tam, because you hold that the main shita is Rashi, and you don't want to waste any time from wearing Rashi, which you wear all day long, to put on Rabbeinu Tam. But there are anyway a few hours a day that I don't wear tefillin, so I might as well wear Rabbeinu Tam. So the Vilna Gaon says back, if you want to be yotze all the shitas about how to make tefillin, there are shitas about which side of the skin the cloth is, there are shitas about how to make dio, there are shitas about the spelling of certain words and tefillin, different shitas. If you want all the permutations, you have to wear 64 pairs of tefillin. The truth is, they're actually more than that. But okay, there are really more than 64 if you put on all the different permutations together. But you have to wear 64 pairs of tefillin, so don't even bother. You just go according to the halacha, and I hold that the ikar is like Rabbeinu Tam. I mean, like Rashi. So therefore, we just wear Rashi. It would have been more interesting if the Vilna Gaon had paskin like Rabbeinu Tam, right? Then a lot of people maybe would be wearing just Rabbeinu Tam, but I don't know. Okay. So the tshuva against that is, brought in the note de Bihuda, it says, why aren't we concerned for other shitas and tefillin besides Rashi or Rabbeinu Tam, right? Rashi or Rabbeinu Tam, as an example, I have a different machlokas. That Rashi holds that the parashis of the tefillin are supposed to be standing up. And Rabbeinu Tam holds that they're supposed to be lying down. Like the mezuzah. Similar to the mezuzah. So, and also about the Sifrei Torah and the Aram. Okay. But if, So why are we choshish for that? Why don't we wear two pairs of tefillin, you know, just to be yotzei the lying down and the standing up? So the Rebbe says, what are you talking about? I alluded to this before. That shita of Rabbeinu Tam, that the parishes of tefillin are supposed to be lying down, is a das yochid. Only Rabbeinu Tam holds that. Kimat, all the other poskim hold standing up. But here, with the order of the parishes, this is a huge machlokis. Half the Rishonim are on one side, half the Rishonim are on the other side. Both are reported in the name of Rav Haigon and the Gaonim. So it makes much more sense to be choshesh for both Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam regarding the order than for the other things of tefillin, which is a little bit of a question on the Vilna Gaon's approach to this matter. But Lemaisa, again, the main division is how much, because the Rabbeinu Tam, even though in the times of the Rishonim, it was a pure suffix and din, The main people that put on Rabbeinu Tam nowadays are the people whose religious system is more informed by Kabbalah. Because Kabbalah was the one, the Arizal, who had the real insistence on wearing both Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam. And by non-Hasidim, non-Sfardim, again, there are more Kabbalistic and less Kabbalistic streams of Sfardim also, but Hasidim are certainly Kabbalistic. So among us non-Hasidim and non-Sfardim, so it's generally viewed because of the weight of the Vilna Gaon and the Rambam and the Rashba and the weight of the Minag. So we hold certainly that the Ikar and the Mechilta, we certainly hold that the main Shita is like Rashi, and we consider wearing Rabbeinu Tam a Chumra, which is why amongst the non-Hasidim, non-Sfardim, it's generally only those who are truly elderly, pious Jews who wear both Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam, usually putting them on separately. Rav Moshe Feinstein only at the end of his life. Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky only at the end of his life. Rav El Yoshev, I think, when he got a little older, but is not viewed in our circles as any type of requirement for general consumption. But you see, it's a very ancient machlokes, very interesting sugya, and I hope you came out with a more of an understanding of this topic. Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening. Yeah. The Rashbam? Why? Well, I don't know. Maybe he was convinced by one or the other. I don't know. I don't know. Why is he more... Tillin?
Yeah.
No. One more thing as you're going out. Some people say it's kedai to wear Rabbeinu Tam even if you don't put it on every day. It's kedai to put on Rabbeinu Tam once in your life. So you shouldn't be like someone who never wore tefillin, what the Gemara calls karkafta d'lamana tefillin. And that's something that is a nice thing to do. Yeah.
How do you borrow somebody else's? Right?
Yeah, borrow somebody else's.
How do you put one at one time?
How many what?
How do you put both on at the same time? No, because you can't put one source. You don't.
Yeah, one goes onto the other. Yeah.
But it's not supposed to be touching the source.
But the effort is not a chatzitza. Look at Rabbi Shabtai, Rabbi Simcha Shabtai, the brother of Rabbi David. I think puts them on separately. Rabbi Simcha Shabtai puts them on together. You could ask him to show you how he does it. Yeah.
I have a solution.
Yeah.
Why can't you put them in the same
with Sula
both of them?
That's more of a Shalab al Tosef because it's mamish together. Yeah. It's a good question. Yeah.
Shomronim.
Yeah.
They do not have a cloth for the mezuzah.
Oh, they just write it, yeah.
It's engraved all around the door.
Yeah. And okay, yeah, you're right.
I saw it.
Yeah. I've seen pictures, I saw it in person, yeah.
Would you be able to look at my phone and
look at them to do what, yeah.
Tell me if they're okay, you need adjustments or things
like that. I mean, I can look at the outside. I didn't bring my tools to look at, check them on the inside, but the outside, yeah, I can take a look.
Where will you be?
I don't know. One of them, you get them tomorrow morning, probably. I can give you my number and you could text me or something.
Okay.
Yeah.
The email is on the page.
Doesn't the Mishnah Berurah say that it's a Yahara, you shouldn't put it on?
Unless you're Muchzak Mavorsam.
Unless you're really. Person, Berabim should not put it on.
That's like Berabim. Maybe you should put it on by yourself. You should put it on privately.
Today, everybody puts on already, so maybe it's not considered Yahara.
Right, we didn't get there. We left with a lot of stuff I didn't get to. We were out of time, but so some say that certainly in communities where it's very widespread, so then it's not a problem of Yahara anymore and you can do it publicly, yeah.
Go. I remember seeing when I was younger. Seder Adoris brings down the Bar Rabbein Tam, brings down that he had a cholam.
Yeah.
Moshe Rabbeinu came to my cholam. He says,
He's
right. And I brought down the Torah, and Rashi is right.
Mm.
He wrote, it says over there that he told Moshe Rabbi to Isa.
That's
what it's called. Seder Adoris brings down.
Yeah, it could be.
You made a mistake.
There's another cholam that in the Shas Tshuvas Min HaShemayim, where he says that he. There's a sefer, one of the Rishonim asked during a dream, he asked Shailas of Kadosh Baruch Hu.
Right.
So it says that this was the Machlokas Rashi Beit HaTam, is the Machlokas between Kadosh Baruch Hu and all the angels.
Really?
Yeah.
It's
on a source here, no?
An angel can be Machilik with a Rabbi Shalom.
Yeah. So the Kosh Baruch Hu Omer Havayis Bemtza like Rabbeinu Tam, and the rest of the angels say say like Rashi.
They're saying Rabbeinu Shalom, you're wrong. We're right. That's a very very funny machlokes.
I hear him. You're right.
Maybe they were saying Torah like B'Shamayim.
Maybe. Yeah.
For the most part, the Chassidim and the Sfardim don't wear their tefillin on Chol Hamoed also.
Right. Yeah.
So concerned about wearing the right tefillin, but
yeah.
You can go for a few days without putting them on the wall, according to Kabbalah.
Go do Kiruv. You should go.
Can I go to Chabad
You go to Crown
and ask to put on Rabbeinu Tam only.
Oh, you sure? I was just saying you should go to Crown Heights on Chol HaMoed and set up a little stand and say, go tell everyone, did you put on tefillin today? Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Very good.
Okay. Well, yeah. Well, yeah.
Anyway, Paul, the Vilna Gaon, why don't we just leave Paschal like Rambam? The Rambam held like Rashi. You went through that source, so maybe the Vilna Gaon.
Vilna Gaon doesn't Paschal like Rashi, the Rambam. He goes in Chazal and he decides what he thinks the Pshat and Chazal is.
I'm just...
He didn't do it out of deference to Rashi or the Rambam. This is what he thought the Pshat.
He's a big
He thought he went through the quotes in the Bilar Be'er Agra. He says he look in the Tshuvas HaRashba. The Tshuvas HaRashba's Rayas are convincing.
He can imagine all these different permutations that that's supposed to be.
Yeah.
Looking at it, exterior, upside down.
Yeah. Unfortunately, we ran out of time. There's a lot more to say about this topic, obviously. I don't want to keep people.